Welcome back here to X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network. Danica Halen, Ryan Elke, Anthony Bellino, all joining you. Joining us now, a Michigan Wolverine alum, played center for the Maize and Blue, and now he's the color analyst for the Toledo Rockets Sports Radio Network, our good buddy Jack Miller. Jack, my friend, first and foremost, thank you for taking the time to join us. Obviously all the ties to Michigan, we'll get to the Wolverines, but you spent your Saturday, last Saturday, partner, you were on the road, you were at Notre Dame, you know, touchdown Jesus, taking 80-90 through the cornfield, a lot of country out there. It's just a kind of a boring ride, but the atmosphere, from afar, it looked like Toledo fans really brought it there, and Toledo really brought it to Notre Dame on Saturday.
They did. To your point, I think no matter where you were watching a college football game last Saturday, there was a heightened emotion with it being 9/11 and coming out of COVID, a lot of teams, that was their first weekend playing back in their own stadium. So there was just so much energy for college football, which I know you and I can both agree is just such an incredible thing to watch and be a part of. So it was good to be in South Bend. That was a fun start to the game. One of my keys to the game for Toledo was if they can keep it close early for a long time, they'll be in okay position. And boy, did they do that, right? I mean, Jason Candle said it in his post-game interview. They were the better team for a long part of that game. It was really fun to watch them compete and perform at the highest level and, quite frankly, outperform a Notre Dame, a perennial powerhouse, a Division I powerhouse. It was really neat to see. Obviously, would have liked to come away with the victory. But nonetheless, so many good things for Toledo to build on from that week. Would have liked to have finished it stronger at the end. But when you can go toe-to-toe with the Irish coming from Toledo and, a number 17 in the country, you got to feel good about where you're at.
Yeah, I mean, no doubt about it. And for the Rockets, how do you approach this coming week's game against Colorado State? It is a home game for Toledo, so they'll be back in the friendly confines of the Glass Bowl there. But how do you maybe kind of accept and work through what took place last Saturday and the hype and the excitement then to not fall victim of, hey, it's a 4 o'clock kickoff, we're back at home, it's an 0-2 Colorado State team, we feel really good. How do you not read your own press clippings and stay locked in to this week's opponent?
The interesting part is I think you almost maybe take an opposite approach of that and say, listen, it's time to embrace how good we are, right? And it's hard to run on positive momentum because coaches are, they're superstitious and, you get a little too far over your skis and you fall, right? And guys don't like that. But I think this was really an opportunity for Toledo to look at themselves and say, hey, guys, guess what? We are legit. We can go play. We can play with anybody. We have a lot in front of us. We have a lot to accomplish. We have an entire, MAC season to go. We have a Colorado State team at 0-2 coming in here that we have an absolute opportunity to, to beat up and to prove that, we are the team that we think we are. It's one of those unique opportunities, I think, in college football for a staff, for a program to kind of buy into the hype, right? And to really get behind it and not get, arrogant about it, but to acknowledge the fact that, they didn't get lucky against Notre Dame, right? I mean, yeah, they made some big plays. That wasn't a result of just, the ball fumbles out of someone's hands and bounces in your lap as you're trotting into the end zone. They made plays. They forced the issue. They went toe-to-toe with a Notre Dame Irish team, right? I mean, I think at this point in the season, with all the experience they have, the leadership that Toledo's players carry, I think it's time to embrace some of that and carry a little swagger and a little chip on your shoulder and say, hey, we're supposed to be here, right? We're supposed to make a splash. We're supposed to go be really, really good this season and let your senior leaders, and there's plenty of them, take the charge in that, not to get arrogant or cocky or do anything out of bounds, but to rally the troops and say, guys, this is what we're supposed to be doing. And hopefully they can use that, as motivation every week to let's get better. Let's practice harder. Let's watch more film. Let's do the right things so that each week as the season goes on, which is what good teams do, you just keep getting better.
Carter Bradley, quarterback there for the Toledo Rockets, went 18 of 28 for 221 through the air and a touchdown. Bryant Kobach had 20 carries for 114 on the ground. Not a Notre Dame rusher had more than 78 yards in that ballgame on Saturday. And a lot of my Twitter mentions, Jack, people wanted to know what the call was there near the end of the game where Toledo went up on the scoreboard. They were trailing at the time. It was Daquan Finn. He comes in, he checks in from time to time as, you know, I guess technically the backup quarterback, but this kid has wheels, man. He can absolutely fly. There's a minute and a half left to play in the game. Rockets are trailing 22-24, and he caps off a 7-play 73-yard drive with a 26-yard scramble on what I believe was an RPO. He pulls it and decides that, hey, I got nothing but daylight in front of me. People on the internet somehow, Jack, believe that he should have taken a knee at the 1-yard line to set up what would be a guaranteed, according to the internet, this was a guaranteed made field goal attempt that would have sealed the victory for the Rockets. Right. End of the game. Your thoughts on what happened there? Because I can't knock Daquan Finn for wanting to score a touchdown on the road at Notre Dame. Biggest moment of his life, and he's got nothing but green grass in front of him.
Well, the funny part is that I would agree with a lot of your Twitter mentions, as you say, about when that happened. I looked down and saw the clock. I said, that's too much time. We're in trouble. I agree. I know exactly what they were getting at. In a perfect world, you get 1 yard or, you know, maybe 5 yards and go down, set yourself up, run another play, run 5 yards, set yourself down, and you kick a field goal to win with 0 seconds left. Yes, that's perfect. That's how you script it up, you know, in a fairy tale. However, that's not real life, right? And when Daquan Finn reads the play and pulls around the corner and knows that nobody's going to touch him, you can't prep the kid to say, hey, by the way, if this works out perfectly and you can get all the way down the field, you should go down at the 2-yard line and not score, right? You can't ask that. That's not the right thing. Nobody's thinking of that. There's so much on the line. Because, by the way, if you don't get the first down, you don't win the game. So get the first down, right? And there's no other way to go about it besides we're going to run a play and you're going to go as far as you can. Monday morning quarterback tells you, and I thought about it during the play myself, yeah, this is actually going to give Notre Dame too much time. Unfortunately, we've seen this happen with Toledo a time or two where if there's too much clock and we have a soft defense, then we can't protect, and all of a sudden, next thing you know, somebody scores, which is what happened. It's not the right thing to say that you're going to ask a kid to go down. He doesn't know whether he's pulling it or not. The priority at that point is get the first down. There's no other thought process. And by the way, trotting in the end zone to go up more than a field goal, you have to be okay with, right? I mean, you just do. That's team football. And I think enough of us have had the experience where we know that might not have worked out in the best case scenario, like it didn't. But it's not the right thing to tell the kid, hey, by the way, if you happen to pull this and you happen to get the first down, that you should go down. I mean, there's too much at stake. You got to go play ball and you got to go try your best. You got to go try to get in the end zone. So, I mean, hindsight's 20/20. It's Monday morning quarterback. Could there have been another call maybe that did it? You know, who knows? But, you know, the priority at the time was we have to get this first down. We have to continue to get field goal range. We just happened to bust off for a touchdown, and you know, it was a little bit of a dagger in our back.
Yeah, and I just, I listened to, you know, all of the head coaches and everybody on the internet, and I'm like, man, sounds like a profession you should hop into. Applications. USC's looking for a guy. Now's the time. Apply here. Let's shift gears to the wonderful institution that you played football at, which is the University of Michigan. Go blue right here. You know, you wore 60. You can find him on Twitter at Jack_Miller60. Follow him. Gain some football perspective and some knowledge as well. And Jack, when you look at the Michigan game, I really, and I tweeted this on Saturday night, I didn't really know how to feel about a game in which your team is going to win, your 1-2 combination in the backfield is going to punch Washington in the mouth, led by an outstanding offensive line performance. Both your backs are going to go for over 150 yards. Blake Corum's going to have 3 touchdowns. Hassan Haskins going to have another one, and you didn't have to pass the ball for more than 44 yards. I did not know how to feel. Like, I'm happy, but I'm concerned, and I don't know should I be happier or should I be more concerned about the way, you know, if that was Michigan's game plan because of the talent that Washington has on the other side, that's fine. But Ohio State's got some talent in their secondary, and Wisconsin's going to have some talent. You know what I mean? Like, I would like to see them push the ball a little bit, but if you're dominating at the line of scrimmage, how do you not just turn around and hand it off and run it down their throat for four quarters?
Well, I think you're right. You know, first off, I appreciate the social media shout out. Thank you very much.
Oh, got to plug the Twitter.
No, secondly, you know, I think you're right. I listened to Harbaugh's comments yesterday. I think he's completely right to say, listen, there's no coach in college football who doesn't want to run the ball first. I mean, maybe there's a few, okay? Maybe there's a few, but everybody else wants to establish the run game. The fact that Michigan has been able to do it handedly and consistently for 2 weeks is a good thing. That doesn't mean that they're world beaters. That doesn't mean that Western Michigan and Washington are, you know, the greatest run defenses or defenses of all time. No, but Michigan has a very good run game right now, and they're doing what they should do. They're controlling the line of scrimmage. They're controlling the game via that, complementary of a defense that's playing very, very well right now. They haven't been forced to have to throw the ball. I think two things can be true at once. They're good at running the ball. That is a good winning solution for a program like Michigan. That's all true. And the second part, we haven't tested the passing game yet nearly as much as we probably need to win big, crucial ball games. Both of those things can be true at once. And I think that's exactly what's going on. I tend to be optimistic about the fact that because we're able to run the ball so well early in the season and let the passing game take time to develop, which it does because it's all about timing. It's all about synchronization. It's all about knowing from quarterback to receiver where you're at the right time, where the blocks are coming from. Those are things that take more timing than not. Those all point to a trending upward thing. So I'm optimistic about it. It doesn't mean people are wrong to say we don't have a pass game right now. I don't know if we do or we don't, right? But we're running the ball very, very effectively, and we haven't been forced to do anything else. I think Jim Harbaugh and staff know that, right? They're not sitting there thinking, oh, God, we'll just do this forever. We'll never have to throw the ball, right? They understand that there's going to have to be compliments on what we're doing right now. But the fact is, they are running the ball right now. The offensive line is playing very, very well. Haskins and Blake Corum are very, very good running backs, and the timing between them is very good right now. So, you know, I look at it from an optimistic perspective. I think they're doing a good job, hopefully, and I would bet a lot on this, that they're working their tail off in practice to continue to get the route running down. Certainly Ronnie Bell being out does hurt. So we're going to need some playmakers to show up. You know, a guy like Cornelius Johnson and some of these other guys that, you know, you hope kind of come out of the woodwork and start to showcase themselves and become the next guy. We're going to need some playmakers to step up as the season goes on. But, you know, I certainly don't – listen, it could be a lot worse, right? I don't think it's time for panic. I think they're playing very hard. I think they're playing very well. I think the coaches are doing a very good job putting them in positions to be successful. So we're 2-0, and we're on the right track, and that's the way I look at it.
I try to look at it the same way, and I'm like, look, if you're getting 7-8 yards a pop, like, yeah, and you got a linebacker on the other side that was just talking about how they're not going to be able to run the ball against you, and you look forward to going to the big house and stopping the run, and then they just pump it in your face for four quarters. Like, I don't know, it's like poetic justice. I do, and you mentioned, you know, the timing of the passing game, and obviously if the run game can buy you some time in live game action, it gives you more time in practice to be able to work on some things throughout the week. Ohio State, they lost to Oregon, and this is Ohio State's third consecutive marquee regular season home game in the shoe in which they have lost. They lost to Oklahoma, they lost to Virginia Tech, and now they lose to Oregon this year. I did a big thing on Monday about, oh, I don't know how the Ohio State fan is going to ever survive fall now that their season is over, right? I can't imagine what that's like, losing a game so early in the season.
Isn't it incredible to have a moment of weakness and just completely cash it in? I get it. The majority of my friends are Ohio State fans, and I just – what a blessing they all have to look vulnerable for 60 minutes and all of a sudden, you know, just give up on the season. It's incredible,
just
really.
Armageddon, it just took place. And you know what? We laugh because we enjoyed it so much. I mean, we were saying, I got to
miss it. Because it's so hard to win. It is so hard to win. And that's kudos to Ohio State because they have been so good for so long. They have not missed a beat. The moment that, you know, the star player moves on and everyone goes, ooh, wait, is this the minute there's a chink in the armor? It's not. They recruit to it. They have a culture for it. They develop the guys for it. They get them to the next level. I mean, Ohio State, I'm not an Ohio State fan, certainly, but I have the utmost respect for them. They're an incredible program. And it's just mind-boggling to watch a fan base sometimes melt down over, look, well, Oregon's a good team. Oregon's going to probably be a playoff team this year if they win out. Like, that's a great team. And I think every once in a while, it does give me a little bit of comedic relief that, you know, the Ohio State fan base has to be checked every once in a while. Because, look, it's hard to win. It's hard to win. And, you know, when you get used to things, you lose perspective sometimes. It's a very hard game to win. But, you know, they fell a little short this week. They're going to be okay. There's talent. They're going to fix it. Ryan Day is a good coach. They'll be okay.
I just, every bit of that I enjoyed because I'm not afraid to say that Ohio State is one of the top programs in the country. They're up there with, you know, Alabama. They're in that conversation. Clemson, maybe they're falling off their high horse. I can't talk about teams I couldn't enjoy watching fail more. Throw Dabo Sweeney right in that mix. Go straight right to the bottom, Dabo. But there is that idea that, yeah, I can notice and I can respect what you're doing. At the same time, I could still kind of hate you. Like, that's fine. That's normal, I would think. How do you think that loss there kind of affects their chance at the college football playoff in the Big Ten overall? Because they've kind of carried the torch here for a while.
Yeah, it's a good question. I don't know if anybody has the answer right now. It'll certainly depend on how they finish out the season, how Oregon finishes out the season, how the rest of the league, or I'm sorry, the rest of college football shapes out, right? No, nobody really knows at this point, but there's still plenty to play for, right? Wasn't it 2014 when they lost early in the year and still ended up making it, winning the national title? Yep. So who knows? I think that's up for grabs. If I had to guess, history tends to repeat itself, and Ohio State will find their way back. They'll get better as the year goes on. When's the last time you saw them ever regress? They don't. They get better and better. They make adjustments as they need when there's a chink in the armor and they find a way to get around it. I tend to be a bit of a historian of the game and of the people surrounded by it. And Ohio State's one of those programs that figures it out. I don't think they're going to be too challenged by anybody in the Big Ten this year. You know, Wisconsin and Penn State, I don't think are world beaters. I think Michigan is playing very well right now. We'll see if they can keep that going and keep building on it. But, you know, by the time we get to Thanksgiving, who knows what that will look like. So, you know, I don't know. Ohio State is certainly the most talented team in the Big Ten. They have oodles of talent running around that field. And they're really well coached. And I know that there's been some problems defensively, particularly with their scheme and their substitutions and the way they're going about that. Ohio State will figure it out, right? So it's just a question of how the rest of college football, you know, how it plays out from that standpoint to figure out if they're going to be in the playoff or not. But I'd be very, very surprised if Ohio State doesn't, you know, get their act together and build on a loss against a very good Oregon team.
He is Jack Miller. Find him on Twitter at @Jack_Miller, then the number 60, Michigan alum and current radio color analyst for the Toledo Rockets and the Rocket Sports Radio Network. Jack, my friend, as always, pleasure to have you on, and go blue, partner.
Go blue. Great to hear from you, man. We'll talk soon.